Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Genesis 44. Genesis 44, how many of your interest was piqued when Pastor was talking about slaying the fatted calf? And how many of you wanted to hear him tell the story of when he was a kid and having the poor Bessie cow coming in every day? And Pastor, I'm sure, slept with the cow and then he had to kill it. I just would love to hear that story. Maybe the next children's story, you come back and you can hear about that. Genesis 44 tonight, I'm reminded through this passage. I thought we'd get to the great reveal. That'll be in a couple weeks. But when Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, but you notice in this passage tonight, as Joseph is one of those few characters in Scripture who, whenever you put any test in front of him, even as he was a teenager and sold into slavery, as we've looked at over the past few weeks, he comes out of it with shining character. And I am certain tonight that in a crowd this size, some of you are going through Joseph-like situations. And perhaps you're going through situations where family has hurt you deeply. Perhaps you're going through some situations where people have not treated you appropriately at work. And you think about it, and Joseph, every time he gets thrown into prison, he gets falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And these are all real-life instances that can happen to us. But you look at Joseph never getting a spirit of bitterness. And what a testimony that is for us tonight, to be like Joseph and come to situations. But I think Joseph had a very high opinion of what he needed his brothers to be. And you look in this passage of Genesis 44, he realized that if you look in this chapter, you're going to see they've only been through 2 years of famine. Can anybody tell me how many total years of famine they're supposed to have in this first famine? Is 7? Yeah, thank you. I see people doing the numbers. 7 total years. Well, he realizes very quickly there are 5 more years of famine. And obviously, this is the second time now his brothers have come to get food, to get clothing, to get things from Egypt. So they're coming in. And any of you have ever seen a famine? Some of you have heard some folks talk about the bread lines. I remember my great-grandmother going through the Great Depression. She would talk about soup lines, and she would talk about the dust bowls, and she would talk about all the things. And so as a little kid, I loved history. So I would sit there, and I mean, she could have been making up half of it, but I believed it, like, you know, hook, line, and sinker. And then she got out, and it was amazing. I found out pictures that they sent and all these things that she went through. And I remember looking at that, saying, wow, that was a tough person. Well, if you can imagine thousands of years ago going through famine where there are no soup lines, you're going through a situation where all of this oppression is coming in. Well, Joseph's brothers come in and they come before this ruler not knowing it's their brother who they sentenced to slavery. And you come to this passage and we're going to begin reading in verse 44. Joseph begins to give them a test of their loyalty. I was reading about some Fortune 500 companies recently. And do you know one of the number one things they're looking for in Fortune 500 employees is honesty and integrity? And you know, those are commodities that, and I'm so thankful for Temple Baptist School, because I believe here at a Christian school, you're able to inculcate some of those principles of honesty and integrity and loyalty. And I've noticed recently, I've had some people in our church come up and tell me about doing doing things with their workmates where you do trust things and you have them trust you. And so everyone would, so if you can imagine Brother Brandon and I coming up and, you know, trusting me to fall off this stage and everyone to catch you. Brother Brandon, would we do that tonight? I think it'd be hard to trust, to have that loyalty. And maybe tomorrow we're having an all-day staff meeting with our calendar. Perhaps we could do that tomorrow in our staff meeting and Pastor could trust us to catch him. But you know, in every society, now I worked in Uganda for over 13 years in East Africa. And I'm telling you this, whether it was the Sudanese people, the Ugandans, the Kenyans we worked with, in every society, it is needful for people of honesty and integrity. And Joseph's looking here at his brothers, and I'm sure he's thinking, wow, over the last 15 or 20 years, they sold me in slavery, gave me away. All of these things have happened. How is their character? How is it that we're going to have 5 more years? Most of the time, if you give good people blessings, you can expect good results. However, if you give people of poor character blessings, you can expect many times they will not make wise decisions. And so Joseph is in a unique position here because Pharaoh says, hey, do whatever you want. I trust you implicitly. And yet Joseph's sitting here and going, I know my brothers. I can't trust them implicitly. How am I going to find out their character? And tonight, I firmly believe that God many times sends character tests to Jeremy Pittman. I'm convinced that he sends character tests to each one of us day by day. How do we pass those tests with flying colors? You see, we want to be the kind of people who can weather any storm. I was noticing recently, I was down in Norfolk, and some 15 years ago, I was down, and there was a commander of a ship down there. And he, it was the USS, I think it was the Alabama. And he was in charge of it, and we stayed with him. He goes to an Independent Baptist church down there, and Mandy and I stayed with him for a week. And he said, hey, I want you to come on the boat. And I say boat, I use that term loosely. We got on this ship, and he takes me down, and I mean, he takes me down on the hull of the ship, and I just gigantic, like my mind could not comprehend how big these vessels were. And then he took me into a submarine, and I didn't realize how small some of them were, and then how large some of the other ones were. But you know what he pointed out to me? One of them was sitting out of the water. He said, Jeremy, do you see how this, when it's submerged, he said, you see those welds right there? And he got to talk to me about the structural integrity of these vessels. He says, you see, when we go down to this depth in this situation, he says, those welds have to hold. They have to have integrity. And I remember him telling me about a boat that he had been on that had issues and how people almost lost their life because they were stranded for a period of time. You know, the worst thing in our life is for people to be depending upon us, and because of our lack of integrity or lack of moral compass, people depend upon us to get them through a trial safely, and we don't have our welds holding with integrity. And we let the water of life come in and sink our ship, so to speak, because we don't practice some of these principles we're going to look at tonight. I want you to see Roman numeral 1 in Joseph's loyalty test. Joseph gives his brothers one last test of character to prove their loyalty. Again, character is something that is invaluable today, and you can't put a price on people with integrity and character. We see that in this situation, he prepares this final test to verify the change in the brother's heart. If you remember the chapter before, the brothers ended up saying, every blessing that God gave them, they said, oh, you know what? This isn't a blessing, this is a curse, because now God knows the wickedness of our heart. It reminds me of this, when we sin and we do the wrong thing, many times the things that happen in our life, we can't accept them as true blessings. We look at them because we haven't gone through the proper channels of confession, that these brothers couldn't translate a blessing from a curse. I want you to see how the brothers' testing came in just a very simple method in the very first two verses. Notice in Genesis 44, 1 and 2, and he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest. And we know the youngest was Benjamin, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing. So obviously he's accusing them of stealing this cup that was already planted in Benjamin's stuff. Verse 6, and he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths, we brought it again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. So you remember before when they were given extra money and they went home and they said, oh, wow, look, we found this extra money. Jacob looked at him and said, boys, you better return all that money back to Joseph. You better, and of course, he didn't know it was Joseph at that time. You better take all that money and return it back. So the brothers here are saying, hey, we have integrity. And he said unto them, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. In verse 8, behold the money which we found in our sacks' mouths. We brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of the Lord's house silver or gold? Now, you notice anytime we get into a situation where someone accuses us, and maybe it's we look at it as a completely preposterous thing, we have to watch our words. And we're going to see this in this passage because all of us at work can get into a situation where someone says something and we maybe fly off the handle. You're going to look in verse 9. With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondsmen. Do you see how rash a statement this was? From them to come out and say, hey, you know what, whoever this cup is, you kill them, and then we're going to be your servants. You know, many times we can make foolish decisions in the midst of a circumstance that's out of our control. And this is a situation that was out of their control. You don't see Judah saying, hey, guys, let's get around. Let's pray about this. Let's see what the Lord's trying to do here. It reminds me tonight that all of us can get in situations where if we don't talk to the Lord first, we can make an improper spoken word to someone without thinking. And so we see, number one, I want you to see letter A. The brothers' testing began with how they handled the corn, and I just alliterated this, the corn, the cash, and the cup located in their sacks. So if you see, it was a simple thing they wanted to check with them in verse 1 and 2. He said, with the food and as much as they can carry. So the brothers' testing began with how they handled the corn, the cash, and the cup located in their sacks. Tonight, all of us have things under our authority. All of us have funds given to us by God. I'm always reminded of some of our folks in Uganda, how they would look at things, and whenever we would teach, and we would just teach from the scriptures about what the Bible says about money, how that really everything belongs to God. And all of us would understand tonight that our breath is a gift from God. Well, over in East Africa, when you rely on, how many of you saw it rain today? Anybody, did it rain where you were at? It rained where I was at. You know, that was life-giving things in East Africa, even today. You look at it, and when it rained, people would rejoice. They would be so thankful because they would get some rain for their crops. Well, in this situation, these men were blessed, but they were going to be held accountable with how they handled this corn, this money, and this cup in their sacks. And I'm reminded today that no matter what God has given you in your hand, how do you handle it? Do you handle it with integrity? There's a woman in East Africa. Her name was Dorcas. And Dorcas was a woman who worked at the Serere Agricultural Center. And as she was in this place, she was a widow. And I'll never forget coming up. My wife can tell this story better than I can. But she would come up with a handful of peanuts on Sunday morning. And it might have been 10 or 12 peanuts that she took, 10% of what she had. Now, this woman ate very little. But I remember thinking in my heart, Lord, this woman is too poor to give. In my mind, I just thought that. And I remember her looking at me, and I saw her money coming into the offering. And after the service, we kind of talked about in our group there, after they brought, and this was a small village church. We had much other larger churches, but in this one village church was just brand new, probably about 30 people. Everyone said, let's give the offering to her. And she said, she looked at us and said, oh no, that belongs to God. You see, that's my offering to him. And she looked at it as a misappropriation of funds for us to take that and give it to her. You know what she was doing? No matter what corn, no matter what cash, no matter what was in her hand, she wanted to make sure God got what he deserved according to the scriptures. You know, it was amazing to me that she was the one, when someone had a need, she would go over with a single egg sometimes. And you think, what is a single egg going to do? You know, when you take a single egg that's a hard-boiled egg over to someone that doesn't have any food, she would be the one who would take the one thing she had to give to other people. Do you know in that village church, that church ended up giving more sacrificially. It reminded me of 2 Corinthians 8:2. The folks who gave out of much trial of affliction. Did you know they saw the most miraculous blessings from God because of how they gave? There were situations in that church where kids had terrible diseases and doctors came to that church and they were giving free medicine. And they said, well, there's no hope for this child. And those group of people would get together and pray. And I remember 6 months later, that child was totally fine. The doctor said, how did this happen? You know what Dorcas would say? She would say, God answered my prayer. Now, you know what? Does God answer prayers tonight? Yes. But I truly believe God looks at us and says, how are you handling the corn that's in your hand? How are you holding the things that you get? Or do you hold on so tightly? And I believe sometimes Dorcas looked at life and said, And I remember, never forget, she looked at me one time. She says, you know, Pasta. She said, Pasta, you have not because you ask not. And I thought, well, that's scripture. I can't really argue with that. But, you know, she had such a walk with the Lord. But part of it started with how she handled the things that were in her hand. You know, tonight God's given us all many things. Would we be careful of how we handle the things God has given us? We see the corn in the sacks. We see, they said, put every man's money in a sack's mouth. The brothers had shown remorse over their sin during the duress of their presence before Joseph on the first trip. But prosperity here, the money in the sacks, the corn, often can cause the repenter to return to his old ways. And we see these brothers were blessed, but they didn't return to their own selfish, covetous ways. They were still acting in a way that behooved the God of heaven. We see this act would ultimately indict Benjamin and show whether the brothers would forsake him. Look what he says in verse 2. Put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest. And so when you look at this and Benjamin has it, you see all of a sudden Benjamin has no idea. But now Joseph is going to see, hey, I only have one true brother. These other guys are my half-brothers. This is the same mother, same father. This is my brother Benjamin. How are they going to treat him? I know how they treated me decades ago. How are they going to treat Benjamin? And this was a test of their loyalty. I want you to see letter B. The Lord regularly sends character tests to us. And our future blessings are dependent on our response. The Lord regularly sends character tests to us. And our future blessings are dependent on our response. I notice in Job 23, you think of in verse 10, all the things that Job went through, he looked and said, but God knoweth the way that I take. And perhaps you've come to this service tonight and you've gone through some incredible circumstances in the last few days. And no one else knows the way that you've taken tonight. Job said in Job 23:10, but he knoweth, the God of heaven knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. We see in 2 Corinthians 8:2, you remember that church that gave and gave, how in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. You see, the more God gives to us, the more we're really supposed to be helping others and being an encouragement to other people. We see the brothers handled this first test very well. But we see that this pursuit came and this man stopped them. And we see, letter C, the brothers showed character by defending their family's integrity. But I want you to see they made a great mistake in rashly suggesting an execution of the offender and a willingness to be slaves themselves. You know, all of us in life are going to get to a situation where sometimes we're at home and maybe it's a husband and wife and someone says something and we're taken off guard, we're taken back, and we want to say something without praying about it. We want to say something in haste without truly thinking it through. And we're going to see here a great mistake of the men just making a simple, and it wasn't a slip of the tongue, it had intent, but they were so solidified in their own righteousness, and they knew that they hadn't taken anything. But many times we have to watch the words that we say so we're not caught in a situation like they were here. You know, we must remind ourselves in every circumstance. I had this happen in Uganda. I had some people set me up. And I had people set up things at my house that make it look like we stole something. And I thought, what in the world? Now, thankfully, we had a guard, and we always had armed guards, and we even had cameras in certain places. Because they were always looking at ways to get, in some places, to get missionaries thrown out of the country. And you know, I'm reminded that all of us can be in a situation like these were here. They were actually set up, but their response, it wasn't their action that got them in trouble, it was their reaction. You know, many times in life, it's not our initial action of what our boss tells us, it's our reaction to something. And we have to be careful with that tonight. 1 Corinthians 1:10, you notice there in your notes, but God knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You remember 1 Peter 3:8 reminds us how we're supposed to act to all people. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. And we see Judah kind of losing it here and going off the reservation and saying, hey, you know what? Just you can kill the person who has the cup. And also, we're all going to be slaves. The only thing that was required was that one person to come back and report as a slave. You see, letter D, we must be careful with our spoken words as they can carry great consequences. We see in Matthew 12:37, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Many of you know we worked with an orphanage, and many of the children we got in our orphanage, many of them had lost their mother and father to maybe malaria, maybe to AIDS, maybe to HIV. They were in situations where they came to us, and it's amazing to me how many of our children remembered a word spoken in anger by a loved one. And they would come, and sometimes we would be talking to them, and at night, they would get scared about something. I'd go into their room, and sometimes they would say, "Ah, Pastor, one of the last things my mother said to me." And they would lay out something that was a hurtful word. You know, we have to be careful the words we speak to our children, but also the words we speak to other people in our day-to-day lives. Proverbs 18:4 says, "The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled." Conversely, I can remember children coming in and saying, and just being elated. I mean, the smiles, you couldn't wipe it off their faces because of someone who spoke a good word to them, someone who encouraged them. In our situation, we had teachers, and our teachers would teach them in math and teach them English and teach them things. And some of these kids would come in, and they would be so excited. Why? Because someone spoke to them a positive word. Tonight, some of the people in our church just need a positive word. They need someone who's going to come up and speak to them in a right way. Not always pointing out the faults that we each have, but pointing out the successes and the things that we can help each other with. You notice, letter E, when circumstances are beyond our control, we must trust God to help us. Many times it's only God and God alone who can help us. We see in Psalm 112, verse 7, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." So we see here Judah's situation. He could have very simply stepped back and said, "Okay, wait, let me just reassess this real quick. Before I say something rash with my lips, this circumstance has obviously gotten out of our control." And I will tell you this, one of the great tragedies of Christians are Christians who've been saved for 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years. And I've seen this over and over and over. We can have the Word of God, we can have the Scriptures, but because we haven't given ourselves to it repeatedly, we can make rash decisions and lose the respect of many people in an instant. You know, tonight, God wants us to be the mature folks in the faith who watch the words that we say. And when circumstances are beyond our control, we bow our heads, close our eyes, we pray to the God of heaven, and we ask him to give us that peace that passes all understanding. We notice letter F. Upon the finding of the cup, the brothers proved their family loyalty by showing great humility and renting their clothes and even returning to Egypt. You see the feelings of the brothers where then they rent their clothes. So this was a major issue with them. I mean, as soon as this happened, they rent their clothes. They were humbled by it because they realized the gravity of what had happened. And when Joseph, we see letter G, Joseph saw his brothers make the right choice, have compassion, and refuse to leave Benjamin to pay for the supposed crime. I've often thought, how easy would it have been for them to look and to see this whole situation, and Joseph's looking at it and saying, well, I bet now they're probably going to leave Benjamin, just like they left me. Just like they left me when all the things happened, they forsook me. Are they going to forsake my younger brother? And yet they didn't. Joseph saw his brothers make the right choice. Psalms 25:1 says, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." You see, this was a circumstance that happened that no one could have predicted. You know, today we're having a storm right now, and the wind's blowing, and the thunder is happening. It wouldn't surprise me if we don't lose lights in a few minutes. But when things happen out of our control, how do we handle things? Do we let the winds of life bend us over and knock us down and destroy our attitude for a while? Or do we stand up and say, you know, I've got to act the right way? We look here and we see surely Joseph had to be encouraged. But now we look in verse 15, and this is a unique passage of Scripture because this is where Judah speaks. And the more I looked at this, I saw six theologians in just studying this passage where they talk about this speech being one of the most eloquent speeches in all of the Bible. And I think I've just looked over it many times, but I want you to see the proper way to appeal to authority. Now, I know most of us here tonight, we look and say, oh, I'm always great with my authority. I love my authority. They're the best. They're the greatest. But at times, there's a place and a time to appeal to authority. And I want you to see how Judah appealed the right way. Judah makes a passionate plea for the clemency of Benjamin. Thomas Kirk, a noted theologian, said this plea was one of the most eloquent and pathetic speeches ever spoken. Governor Thomas said, and this is from the 1800s, said it was one of the most exquisite pieces of literature in the whole world. I want you to see Roman numeral 2. Judah's eloquent speech gives great instruction on how to properly appeal to our authority. So you notice there in your notes, his eloquent speech gives great instruction on how to properly appeal to our authority. Notice letter A, Judah, who would one day be in the line of Christ, finally stepped up and responded in and took responsibility for punishment in order to bring Benjamin home to his father. And you have to think about who Judah was. And you might be here tonight and you say, you don't know the mistakes that I've made in my past. Judah, of all people, should not have been standing up making this proclamation. Judah was found with a wicked woman just five chapters earlier, had done horrible, unspeakable things. His character was constantly in disrepute. First 10 chapters, Judah made the wrong decision, the wrong decision, the wrong decision. But at one critical moment, one crisis of an issue, he steps up to the plate. And he ends up putting himself on the line and actually says, tries to sacrifice his own life for the sake of Benjamin. And we're going to look at this. I want you to see letter A. Judah, who one day would be in the line of Christ, finally stepped up and responded, took responsibility for punishment in order to bring Benjamin home to his father. So while Judah had failed to do the right thing with Joseph so many years ago, it reminds us it's never too late to do the right thing. I'll never forget two boys in East Africa. I think it was 14 and 12. And the one was, and every time we took orphans into our orphanage, we always tried to get, if there were any sisters or anybody involved, we wanted to get the whole family because we wanted to keep the unit together. And this one 14-year-old boy was just, bless his heart, but as my grandmother would say, bless his pea picker. He would always get into rambunctious things and would get into trouble. And so there was one night when he did, something got broken in a lamp. And how many of you remember the old kerosene lamps? Remember the kerosene lamps? Well, this was a kerosene lamp. It got knocked over, broken. And I'll never forget this boy. We all knew he did it. I mean, it was just like he was a kid always throwing stuff, knocking stuff down. We could put guards on it. We could put all these things around it. It would still just, he would break things. Well, we came upstairs. Who did this? It started a little bit of a fire. He looked at me and he said, and what it was is he took responsibility for something his little brother did. His little brother had done it, but he stood up and said, oh, and he lied. He goes, Pasta, it was me. Please don't hurt my little, please don't get my little brother in trouble, because he knew he was going to have to go see the teacher that was in charge. And he said, oh, please don't hurt his feelings. Don't talk to him. What was he doing? He was stepping up to try to protect his brother's integrity. He already knew his brother had good integrity. He's just like, well, what is it if I get in trouble and have to write sentences again, right? You know, many times we don't want to take the blame for something someone else does. But it is the mark of, when you look at Judah's life here, Judah ends up putting himself on the line, and we're going to look at it in verse 14. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. So he's basically telling Judah, look, you're done. You can leave. It's Benjamin the one I'm going to hold. Then Judah came near unto him in verse 18 and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. So we're going to see, when we're appealing to authority, he shows the proper respect. And I want you to see letter B. There are times when it is necessary to humble ourselves and sacrifice ourselves for our family's benefit. Letter B, there are times when it is necessary to humble ourselves and sacrifice ourselves for our family's benefit. I want you to see next, letter C, Judah showed proper humility while appealing to Joseph, as he twice used the word servant in referring to himself. So again, in verse 18, he looks, and of course, if he would have just known this was Joseph, his younger brother, he doesn't. He looks and shows the proper authority for the position. And anytime we have issues with authority, it's always important to show proper respect. We see he commits himself to being a servant. The humility of Judah here. And that Judah was one of the most proud men. For seven chapters, you see him over and over making decisions of pride. It tells me this. There's no one in this room tonight that if you have some issues that maybe Judah had, that you can say, well, I'm just too far gone. It's just the way I am. No, God says, I can fix anybody. I can fix any circumstance. And Judah came to a situation and finally said, you know what? I've got to repent. Judah showed humility. Notice letter D. Judah showed proper honor to Joseph's position and authority by comparing his position to Pharaoh. So he not only showed humility, but he showed honor. And how important is it for us to do that when we're talking to someone that's authority over us, to show humility and to show honor? We see letter E, Judah's focus was not selfishly focused on himself or upon Benjamin, but he focused the attention on the effect Joseph's decision would have on his elder father. So in this whole situation, Judah had the presence of mind to say, oh, wait. And he didn't know his name was Joseph, but he said, look, I don't want you to think of this as a selfish thing. I want you to see that this is not for me. This is not for Benjamin. I want you to see this is for how it's going to be to my dad. And so you notice it wasn't selfishly focused on himself. Notice what he says. And the Lord asked his servant, saying, have ye a father or a brother? In verse 20, and we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidst unto thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, or Benjamin cannot leave. For if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And he said, we cannot go down if our youngest brother be with us. Then will we go down, for we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And he goes on and say, and notice what he says in verse 31, and it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, or Jacob will die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my Lord. And let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and if the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. You see, we all have to get to a situation that we see it's not how it affects me. It's not how it affects myself. It's how it affects my family. This is the effect that's going to have on my children. This is the effect it's going to have on my mom. It's the effect it's going to have on my dad. There were many things as a kid I didn't do because I knew it would kill my mom's heart. You know, as children, it's important to realize how it's going to affect your parents. But in this situation, Judah's solution, I want you to see letter F. Judah's solution was to be the substitute for Benjamin and take his punishment. And we see here that Judah says, you know what, take me. Don't put this affliction on Benjamin, but would you deal with me? The expositor James Montgomery Boyce says, it's hard to think of any speech as poignant or powerful as Judah. Dr. Barnhouse says, Judah offering the most moving address in all the Word of God, here was the eloquence of true love. Indeed, this speech has been called the greatest example of natural oratory in all literature. It reminds me tonight that even in the midst of a difficult circumstance, Judah, who had no character before this, ends up coming and standing up and doing the right thing. It reminds me as we close, letter G, Joseph's brothers now were willing to stand together and sacrifice themselves for one another, no matter the cost. John 15, 12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak." You know, tonight, would you be the person who is the one who has integrity, who has honesty, who goes to that person over you, who ends up not letting their actions be the issue, and not letting the reactions be the issue, but has the right reaction in all circumstances? I was reading about a North Korean gentleman named Shin Dong-hyuk. He became the only person to ever escape from a total control zone internment camp in North Korea and live to tell the tale. You know what he had done? He had grown up in prison. He was born in the prison because his mother was a prisoner there. He lived in prison his whole life for 30 years. He and his friend said, "We have to get out of this place. We don't even know what life is like on the outside world." He ended up escaping. They went to an electrical fence around the compound. And this was, and if any of you, I've seen folks electrocuted to death in Uganda, power lines and different things. It's an awful death. His one friend was standing there. They realized one of them had to trip the line. The one man touched the line, was electrocuted, but he put himself over the line so it would kill him, but it would allow someone to go over his body. Did you know Mr. Dong-hyuk? Still, he'd never had chicken before. He gets out over the North Korean border, escapes from this total internment camp. He says, "I owe my life," and he said this man's name over and over and over. He said, "Because he made the choice to give his life so I could experience freedom." You know, tonight, there are people that want to experience freedom in Christ, but maybe we have to be the ones like Judah who get up and say, "It's not how it affects me. It's how it affects someone else down the road." Would we be the ones who stand up to say the right things, to do the right things, and to be the right kind of person this week? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the life of Joseph. Lord, we're thankful how we can look at this passage and see Judah stand up for right and basically lay the foundation to break Joseph's heart, to see that now his brothers had passed the test of character, had passed this test of loyalty. Today, would we show loyalty to our husbands and our wives by the way we act, by the way we respond with our actions? Father, I pray tonight that you would use your word in our hearts, that we would have sacrificial hearts for one another this week, for those at work, for those at home, and those that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen.